podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it's John Gibbons from the Anfield Wrap, and I'm joined here at Anfield, and it's a busy Anfield. We'll tell you why, but I'm sure you've heard the news and the releases, statements from yesterday on what Liverpool are doing here. And to discuss both of those, I'm joined by Andy Hughes, who is the Andy here at Liverpool Football Club. Andy, thanks a lot for your time today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
So I want to talk about the same expansion first, because obviously the rail seating has probably caused more attention. I understand why, because it's newer to people and people weren't necessarily expecting it. Whereas the Anfield Road, we've been talking about for a long time, but it was a significant breakthrough yesterday and something to be celebrated that, you know, from our point of view, from a supporter point of view, there'll be 7,000 more of us every home game able to buy a ticket and able to cheer on the Reds.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a huge milestone for the club. And we've been working on it for a very long period of time. And, you know, there's a big team internally who've been working on it. Of course, we've got external advisors. But, you know, this goes back many years. You know, we started with the restoration of Stanley Park and, you know, obviously the main stand build. We've done 96 Avenue, new retail store on Walton Breck Road. And I guess you go back all those years ago when we looked at this capital development programme and came to the conclusion our vision was to stay at Anfield, to now have permission to get above 60,000 is just a huge moment. So, yeah, we're really pleased. And in the middle of all that, of course, we did the training ground, which was a huge project in its own right as well. So, no, we're all delighted. I'm delighted and can't wait really to get going. There are still some steps we need to get through before we can kick off, but it's a big step on the journey. So,
yeah, I mean, the Anfield Road itself has been a long time in the making. The original planning permission, I think, was 2014. So, you know, people might be thinking, well, hang on, I thought that had already been approved or whatever. So what has changed since then, and what other things did you have to sort of go through, and what's sort of developed, I guess, since that time?
Yeah, so we've put an outline planning permission application in with the main stand, which was approved. And it was actually for a slightly lower capacity. And as the years went by and once we finished the main stand, we looked back at that and, you know, basically tried to optimise the design and very quickly came to the conclusion we would need to refresh the design. And I think we felt we could get more capacity into the stand, which is obviously the objective, but also we've been through really extensive public consultation exercises, and we had a lot of feedback from the local residents, overwhelmingly positive. But there was a group of residents who live very close to the stadium who were really concerned about the proposal to close Anfield Road, and in the original outline planning application, that was the proposal. And obviously the road is right behind the stadium today. So of course any build that goes backwards and up obviously was going to impact the road. And I think after the first public consultation, I thought we had to just take a step back and see if we could do better. So literally went back to the drawing board and actually shrunk down the ground floor of the building. Managed to achieve all the same objectives in terms of facilities, design, etc., but created just enough room that we could divert the road around the back of the footprint of the stand. So I think that was a really great outcome. We also had quite a lot of feedback around the build process itself, and we made a number of changes to that, but there was actually quite a bit of design input as well. And I think we've ended up with a really strong design proposal as well. It ties in completely with the look and feel of the main stand, externally as well as internally. And the public realm space, again, very consistent with the design of 96 Avenue and really good integration into Stanley Park, which is also one of the council's planning objectives. So look, I couldn't be happier. It's sort of sometimes it's trying to navigate through the needle of
of
keeping as many people as happy as possible and delivering all the objectives, and I really think we've got there. So
absolutely, I agree, and I think it is worth remembering that the journey that we all have all been on really, in terms of you know, if you go back sort of, you know, over 20 years now, when people were saying, well, you can either stay at Anfield or you can move to a shiny new stadium, which was about 60,000 to 65,000 was what we were talking, and those were the options. And instead, we've not just been able to stay, but, you know, we've stayed in a ground that's been developed, modernised, and is about to sort of get bigger. It really feels like you know, we've got the best of both worlds, really.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, Anfield's the home of the club, right? And I never thought it was the right thing to move to Stanley Park. I mean, I wasn't here at that time. There's no question that this is a better outcome, but the key was always, were we going to be able to deliver the capacity increases? Were we going to be able to deliver the facilities? And I absolutely think we've achieved that.
Yeah.
And we've got world-class facilities in this stand, the main stand now, and we can replicate some of that in the new stand as well. So, yeah, it's a really great outcome.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm just a little bit giddy because I've not been here for so long. It was unfortunately for me December, Bobby Firmino last minute goal when I was last in here. But you know, it's the history, it's the soul, it's all the romantic stuff when you step in. And you know, we had a lovely sort of walk up here, sort of, you know, to the stand, and it's just all that. There would have been such a shame to lose. So I'm delighted, really, that we're able to sort of get 60,000 Liverpool fans, hopefully sooner rather than later, cheering Liverpool on. Do you have a sort of a date in mind? Do you think it'll be done?
I don't think we can commit yet to a date. I mean, originally we were targeting summer 22. This was pre-pandemic,
yeah.
And it was a target. I think, you know, we had to pause everything.
Yeah.
It was just after the public consultation process, we decided to stop for 12 months. So that puts us on an earliest possible conclusion of summer 23.
Okay.
But there's still a bit of work to do. You know, we've still got some regulatory approvals, internal approvals. We've, you know, need to finalise arrangements and, you know, with a preferred contractor, main contractor, etc. So summer 23 is possible, but, you know, we'll see over the coming months.
Yeah. Having praised everything and said how brilliant everything is, you know, we're an insatiable lot. So the Anfield Road to my left will go right the way back. Are we worried a little bit that our cop will be dwarfed? And is there anything that, you know, might be in the pipeline or in the thoughts about, because that needs to be the biggest stand, doesn't it?
Honestly, I'm not worried about the cop being dwarfed. It's, I honestly feel it's the heart and soul of the stadium. I mean, you hear it every minute through every match day. And I think that will always be the case, right? It's the heart of the ground, so it's not a worry for me.
No, oh, okay. So. Well, we'll see. There's some sketches online that people have done if you want to sort of have a look. I'm sure it's as easy as that. Okay, we'll move on then to the rail seating, and we've come and had a look at one. It's sort of behind us. You were kind enough to show us. I think it's important, first of all, to reinforce why you guys have done this and what it is about, because look, rail seating, safe standing, debates around, you know, how Liverpool fans or how football supporters should watch football and should be able to watch football and what is the safest way to watch football has been a debate for as long as I've sort of been a football fan, really. There's obviously a lot of talk around comfort. There's a lot of talk about, you know, how people want to watch and also sort of capacity issues. What was clear from the announcements yesterday and the video that you did was that this is about safety, and this is fundamentally about safety, and that's how it should be framed. But that's how, you know, your approach to this is all about. What is the safest way for people currently to watch Liverpool play?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, we've been part of all these conversations. We consult with everybody on a regular basis, and you know, we're very sensitive to the emotive issues, and obviously the experience issues as well. But look, we've reached a point where I think the safety issues are so clear.
Mm.
Unfortunately, you have to remove the emotion from those decisions and look at the facts. And we are in a position where I think it's very clear we need to act to improve safety in the stadium. So
yeah.
We just did not feel we were capable of waiting any longer without moving forward. So
who, where has this been led by? Because I know you talked about sort of safety boards and things like that. Who would advise? And you, is this club led? Is this led by legislation? Sort of who's driven this forward to get you where you are today? Or is it a little bit of both?
Well, it is a bit of everything, right? So the safety environment is the national body is the Sports Ground Safety Authority, the SGSA. But obviously we work with Liverpool City Council through building control. And obviously, as a club, we have a legal responsibility to deliver safety. So it's all parties working together. Now, I don't really want to speak for the SGSA, but I think everybody knows that they've been very focused on this issue
mm-hmm.
of standing in seated areas. And I think everybody knows it's an issue in grounds, right? So when there's an exciting moment on the pitch, people jump up.
Yeah.
And at that moment, when you jump up in a seated area on a terrace, there is a risk.
Mm.
And there's multitudes of risks we're managing. And look, at the other thing I think it's important to understand is every ground is a little bit different. So the steepness of the terrace, the tread depth, as well as the sort of length of the terrace. So there's a whole series of factors that come into play that each ground needs to assess. But the SGSA have been doing studies, particularly on seating in standing in seated areas, but also on rail seating and options that other grounds have taken. And I think the conclusions for us anyway are very clear.
Yeah.
And there are areas of risk in the stadium, and I think the evidence we're looking at suggests it's much safer with a safety rail. I mean, it's a normal stadium seat, I think, as you can
yeah.
see, and it simply has a safety rail at the back. So look, there really wasn't any choice in my view. It was time to act.
Yeah. So just to sort of reinforce, it's not about changing people's behaviour, it's about adapting to how people are already behaving within football stadiums.
Yeah, and so there's a huge range, of course, of behaviour, but I don't think there's anywhere in any ground where everybody, people sit all the time.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. People, you know, even in a director's box, when a goal's scored, people are on their feet. So there's a level of risk, and of
yeah.
course, the other end of the scale is people standing all of the time. So you have to balance all of these factors. But yes, we've looked at it, the SGSA have looked at it. I think there's a clear conclusion that the seat will improve safety. But, you know, with all things like this, it's important you have to do a trial. So you have to see it in action. So
yeah.
What we're talking about here is a trial, and it is about safety. So we will be monitoring the safety outcomes, because that's what we're trying to achieve. And depending on what happens, will dictate the next steps.
Can I ask you a little bit more about that, Andy? What you're sort of hoping to see in this 12 months, what you expect to see, and what kind of things you are monitoring, really? Because as you say, it is a 12-month trial.
So what the SGSA sort of reporting back to us, and I guess our own perspective, is that, you know, when people are standing, it is safer. So you're getting much less forward-backward movement.
Mm.
You know, the big concern, and of course we do have it at matches, that people fall over the seat in front of them.
Mm.
And that can range from a small fall and a minor injury to that leading to a cascade effect down the terrace, right? And these things happen in football. You know, it might just be a couple of rows, it might be three rows, it might just be one person with an injury. But there is a record of these things happening, right? So obviously that's something we'll monitor and hopefully will improve. But we're also hearing, I mean, one of the concerns with it, of course, is that because it's easier to stand and there's a rail there, it actually encourages people to stand for longer. But I think the research from SGSA suggests that that isn't the case. So that is something we will watch very closely. The other issue, of course, is if people are standing, is migration away from your seat. And migration is a serious risk, because it creates overcrowding somewhere else if somebody isn't where they should be. So obviously we'll monitor that very closely. But also at the end of the matches or in an emergency situation, egress is really important, and an orderly egress is a safer egress and a quicker egress. And so obviously we'll monitor that as well. But again, from the SGSA's research, it does suggest that this is leading to much more orderly exits at the end of matches.
Yeah, and just to be clear, it's from August, from football fans back in, you know, current levels of where we're at, with you know, we were obviously hoping it'll be a full Anfield, and it's from sort of, you know, home game one of next season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're doing the work now, so we're trying to be ready for the first pre-season friendly at Anfield. So.
Great, fantastic stuff. Just to finish up on just consultation processes generally, Andy, if you don't mind, because obviously these are two huge pieces of work, and require, I say require as in you're sort of forced to, I'm sure it's something that you want to do, certainly with regards to sort of rail seating, is consult as many stakeholders as possible. There's different stakeholders and different things. Obviously, there's internal stakeholders, which generally remain, but externally, you know, you talk about residents with Anfield, with something like rail seating, is such an emotive issue around, with Liverpool in particular, and around anything around people changing how they watch football. Well, it will always be something that, you know, as Liverpool supporters and as Liverpool fan media, and as, of course, the football club, you have to be sort of careful on. You know, how big a project are those, and how delicate is it, and how wide do you go, how wide do you feel you have to go? And, you know, it must almost feel like it's never just a start finish, it's ongoing. I would have thought, especially with things like local residents, it's always about sort of improving relationships, it's always about communication, and, you know, it must be almost a full-time job for a lot of people.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and it's something we've looked at really hard over the last few years, and really made significant efforts to try and improve our consultation with all stakeholders. So if you look at the sort of local resident situation, we did recruit a resident liaison manager, and she's done an absolutely fantastic job, and is in regular dialogue with local residents. But we have drop-in sessions, we have regular meetings with the local ward councillors. I attended most of the public consultations myself, both a concert planning application a while ago, as well as the consultation for this. So yes, the dialogue's active and ongoing, and the more the better. Mm-hmm. Particularly on rail seating, I mean, it is an emotive issue, and we did write privately to the families before this announcement, and the timing is difficult.
Of course.
And, you know, nobody particularly wants that. But look, we are talking as actively as we can to as many people as we can, and that will carry on. And I think the fact we have done that over many years now, it has enabled us to get a clearer picture of people's viewpoints before this decision. But ultimately, this specific decision now on rail seating has actually just come down to a clean safety decision that we feel we need to act, and we are very sure that the seat is safer.
Yeah. You know, you talk about those conversations over time, it means, you know, where opinions are. There's also help with things like goodwill. And so I'm thinking more from the point of view of the Anfield expansion now. The better the relationships are with local residents, the more likely they are to sort of, I guess, believe your words. But more so, we think, we understand that if there are problems, you know, our voices kind of will be heard.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think over the last few years, my eyes have been opened on a number of points and a number of critical issues by some of the key people in the local community. I don't want to start throwing names around, but there were a number of ward councillors who voted against our concert planning application. And they did so for very clear reasons. And, you know, we've had really strong dialogue with them from that point. And the truth is, some of those people voted for yesterday. So I think that is a really important message. And we meet regularly, we take on board their comments. And I genuinely feel there's real consensus that in terms of the experience for local residents on match days and on major event days has got better, lot better. It doesn't mean to say that work is done. There are still issues, but it's something we take really seriously. Mm. And I know there's more we can do, but often the answers lie in small detail points. But things have definitely got a lot better.
Yeah.
And it's something the club is committed to doing better. And, you know, we have people employed to do that. We have regular processes, regular meetings. So it's embedded in the way the club operates.
That's great. That's great. Well, thanks a lot for welcoming us down today. Looking forward to seeing the changes. Looking forward to trying out the new rail seating myself. And yeah, I just can't wait to get back in, to be honest with you.
Same. It'll just be amazing to have the fans back. I've actually been here for virtually every behind closed doors game, and
I hope you've been cheering.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
I appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Podcast Network.